Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, we've got Jacob Inaki here, and we've also got a Chris Taylor here. Why?
Because
I don't know.
Because it's Thursday night, and that's when we always are on.
Well, Chris is the special one, but we have a reason for that.
We're special, too. Don't worry.
Oh, I know. The one, the only Mustin is back on SML. Mustin, how are you doing tonight, sir?
Peachy.
Good answer. Peachy, good answer.
Peachy. Oh no, I'm gonna say more Rosalina E.
Rosalina E. Do you have the amiibo for Rosalina?
I ain't got no amiibos.
No amiibo.
Grown ass man.
I used to have amiibo. I sold them.
I have like three amiibos for myself, and then we have just like this giant pile of Zelda ones.
Oh God!
Because they unlock the game. Stuff.
Yeah, you gotta scan them in Breath of the Wild.
No, Skyrim.
I hear
the
music.
What was that?
That was
trying to remember how to play that. Oh wait, hold on.
I'm dying, and this the last misfirings of the synapses in my brain is producing beautiful e piano music.
Ah,
he's dead.
Yeah, that was it.
Mustin, what brings you to the show? You're going to be at VGMCon, yes?
Yeah.
Tell us about it. Tell us what's going on.
Of my gaping
butthole. VGMCon is pretty cool. I hope you can come sometime. It won 2019 with Los One Ups, and we performed, and it was about the size of a fist. You probably could have fit the whole con in the atrium part of MAGFest, where
oh Lord.
People perform downstairs. Like, I'm telling you, it's so small. But it was fun. And I went back to the first in-person one last year. And it was one of the best times I've had. It was like Alexandria MAGFest.
Ooh.
It's just everybody in this brick-ass building hanging out. It's all these cool spots to lounge. And it's just one stage playing video game bands. Like one panel room doing some anime and one doing talking. And then there's a little room that had merch. Then somewhere there was like a couple of arcade machines in a weird spot, but really not anything huge. And I don't expect it to be too much bigger this time, but I do think they have two stages and two panels going. So it's going to grow just like, MAGFest did, but it's still... You can't go 40 feet or 40 paces without seeing someone that you know from YouTube or seeing someone that you know IRL.
And that's what I just miss from MAGFest.
Yeah, man. It's why it's so good. I left there saying, how can I do this all the time? Like my creative battery was totally recharged and I was just totally excited to do stuff. And I had recently started going to improv in my town, and I went to the lady who I think I pulled over and I emailed her because I really wanted to know, can I come pick your brain and figure out how you do what you do? Because while she does teach improv a couple nights a week, her day gig is going around to different businesses and like talking and teaching about how to be like team people or whatever. I'm like, dude, I should be doing that, because that's, I mean, all I was doing was running my mouth at VGMCon, and I would love to do that. And I ended up meeting with her, and she was in like logistics for 26 years or some crap. So can't follow in someone else's shoes. You have to figure out your own path. And without even realizing it, I thought I was going to be setting up some kind of panel to do like a VGM arranging history. That would have have these people from like, I would have DJ Pretzel, and then I would have the Animal Cannon, and then I would have Insane in the Rain Music, like these different ages of our generations of video game music stuff. But I never could get something together, so I just wrote some BS thing about how I'm going to like talk about stuff. And then I realized this is what I was setting out to do when I left last year. I wanted to start doing speaking. So this is my first ever solo speaking engagement, and I have a lot of fun planned. So I'm really excited, and I don't have any music obligation, and I'm just going to bring the leftover the 1UP's 20 anniversary vinyl and my new album.
New album, you say?
That's right. New album, I say.
Tell us more about this new album.
No, next question.
What's the title of the new album?
I just finished an album called Mario Mixtape. My son did everything except the music. So he's my boss now, which has been really weird.
He's 17. How is he the boss? What does he do in his roles to manage you? How does someone manage Mustin?
He does not do the dishes. That's what he does.
Sick burn.
my son is 17. His name is Logan, and on the 26th of December, I sat down. I remembered that my 12-year-old daughter loves the Game Over music from Super Mario World. So, nah, how's it go? Nope. Nope. Can't figure that out. I decided that for her Christmas gift, I would make her a ringtone and have that ready whenever she got back. So I came to sit down at the music station, and my son was in the room for whatever reason. And I said, hey, I'm going to work on music, so just be chill. And he's like, all right. He was on TikTok or whatever. About 45 minutes later, I had a track done, and I asked him, I said, hey, check this out. What do you think of this? And I played back the track, and he got so mad.
Why?
And he's like, you just did that right now? And I said, yeah. And he's like, so you like made all that right now when I was sitting here? And I said, yeah. And he's like, why don't you do that all the time? Why aren't you other kinds of? And then he like pulled up a bunch of old stuff I made and started rubbing my nose in it, because like he doesn't like it, you know. It's like, you shouldn't be making music like this. You should be doing it like this. Like, this is cool. Like, you could actually do something with this. And I was like, oh, okay. I only intended it for it to be a ringtone. And he kind of just went bonkers on it, and he decided that I should make an album of Mario music. He's like, Mario 64. I was like, I don't want it to just be one thing. And so I handed him this PDF, the Nintendo licensable tracks, and he went through and he found every track that he picked out all the tracks, like 13 or 14, and then he wrote down how they should sound, like the styles and genres and stuff. And then he put me to task and put together like milestones. He's like, you gotta have this thing done by the end of February. And I laughed and I laughed and I laughed. And I said, you know what, dude? If we're gonna do Mario, it's kind of great, because you know what comes out this year? And he's like, what? And I said, the Super Mario Brothers movie comes out in April. So let's get it done so it'll be ready the Tuesday before. And he's like, all right, bet. So we set out to do it, and then he started putting together the artwork. I don't know what the I don't know what the artwork is. I don't know what incarnation is going on. I just know that I'm still working with Kubosh, because he's my dude, Chris Dulas from Arm Cannon.
Love that guy.
And yeah, and I said, here is what I'm being told the cover is supposed to be. And I like cut together the different things from these different pieces of medical artwork. And it basically looks like a dude in a freaking coma on a hospital bed with heartbeat lasers going up the top, and they go through the monitor, and then they have like Mario's hat and mustache. And then there's some red and blue goo and an IV drip It's going into side and going inside of it. I'm like, what the hell even is this, bro? And he's like, what? This is the cover. And he's like, the lasers go all the way around to the back because we're going to print a physical CD. And lo and behold, they do go all the way around to the back, which is cool because the art is in continuation from the front, which I think is cool. And I said, so is it like this dude's like in a coma and the mix of this like Mario radness is going to bring him back out of it? He just looked at me and nodded and then went back to looking at his phone. And I was like, all right. And so Kubosh made two different covers. Like, the one was more like straightforward, sterile. And then one was this kind of like dark, moody purple color. And everything on this album has been the decisions that are not like obvious, like business ones, creative ones have been pushed. It would have been decided by Gen Z and Gen Alpha. Because everybody I showed this cover for the sterile one, that's the one that everybody millennial and up picked, and they're like, yeah, that looks good. But all of the Gen Z Alpha ones are like, no, ew, that's we don't hate that. This one's cool. This one's really cool. And we're like, wow, what the hell? I was like, well, I don't like it, but we're using it. So there's been this cool push and pull of what. I mean, I've never like compromised any art, like artistic part of myself, but I am really impressed with how much my son pushed me to do my best based off of hearing me make a ringtone out of the Game Over music from Super Mario World.
That is awesome. And it led to a full album. And I previewed a little bit of it. And it is enjoyable stuff. It is really, 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 really enjoyable stuff. Isle Delfino so far, Delfino Plaza is sitting up there in my favorites. Tell us about this song because I want to know more about what led to the arrangement of Delfino Plaza.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. You think I know how to make music. This is where I'm just not a musician person, like performer person, but I can produce like a
MF. I feel that. Same.
We need Norgon because Norgle like fuck around with like tubas and guitars.
So I took the theme and made it minor, which is but you have to have the rest of the stuff. So he gave me instructions for everything. He said like do it like a upbeat swing. And I was like, man, this has been done a million different ways. Well, I mean, not a million different ways, but it's been done enough. I wanted to do something that was more fun. And I don't know what I just like was messing with it, and I said, "Well, I got to just do a Mustang." Then I just started playing it out, writing it out, doing it minor, and then I came across Electro Swing, which I somehow just missed. I don't know, like from 10 years ago, it was a whole thing, and so I was listening to that, and I was like, "Oh man, this is it. This is what it's got to be," because I don't think anybody's done this, and.
Electro Swing is dope. I love that music.
Yeah. Well, that's probably why you like it so much. But I had a lot of fun doing that, the piano part. I can't remember it. I had to play it really slow. So I played it slow and then sped it up because that's the musician I am. And once that piano was there, I took a sound of an upright piano and then I mixed it in with a cheesy honky-tonk sound from my keyboard. And then I took all of that and made it sound old-timey with the record scratch, and I was like, oh, that's a vibe. So then I went with that and just started layering it on because it was just a dance tune, and all these things that I saw were just dance tunes. The only difference was is that mine wasn't going to have any samples in it. Mine was going to be all arranged. And I wrote a little trumpet solo, and I was like, it's got to have a muted trumpet solo. That's so of the time. And I was going to have my buddy, the mariachi from Mariachi Entertainment System, do it, but he got into a lousy place. So I put out a call on Twitter, and this person, T. Sori, came through. I don't really know much about him, and I don't really know what the T. Sori is, but I got him to do this little trumpet part, and it turned out really great. He nailed it. I helped him figure out which mutes we were going to use, and he gave me two takes, and that was all I needed. And so it's not really like a big thing, and I don't know why I only put it in the little bit right up front, but I love it. I think it's a lot of fun, and I just I love how it tapers off at the end and then ends with the James Bond chord. It just has to happen that way.
What are some of the other highlights on the album? What songs are you most proud of?
I freaking hate reggaeton music. I just don't like it. And I had such a hard time doing New Super Mario Brothers because I didn't know what to do with like that. I didn't like grow up with that. I my kids did, and I heard it in the house a lot because they would be playing it with friends and stuff. But I don't know. It just really didn't resonate with me. And I tried all these different things, and then I walked away, and then I came back later in the day and I sat down, and that's when I heard it, because I was starting to play that play that melody. What is it? Yeah. Man. But once I heard that, when I, like in my head, I heard that, and I was like, oh no. Oh God. Oh no. My only option. Oh no. And so I told the kids, and I said, listen, I'm not going to be like, don't think that I've had a virus and my brain has changed or someone's taken my body, but I have to make this reggaeton music. And they're like, what? I was like, yeah. So just don't mind me. And then like all day I'm listening to Bad Bunny and Enrique Iglesias. And then I started to make the track the way that I heard it. And man, if I big ups to Frank Diggy Diss for getting me the right kick sound that I was going for. I was like, I gotta have that fucking sound that Pitbull uses, man. Doom. For the kick jump. Doom. Doom. And he got me that sound. And then it was tough. Like, they do a lot of stuff. It's a lot more complicated than I thought. So I got a newfound respect for it. And hearing it now, I could hear even still how I could make it more, like, make it better and more legit. But I'm still very happy with it, how it is. And the accordion just cracks me up, man. Once I put that accordion in there, that I grew up listening to a lot of Tejano music. And because my father, I was friends from Mexico, were listening to Tejano music, and hearing that accordion, I was like, I gotta do that. Like put that. Yeah, that's it. Just that
accordion makes everything playing better.
And just laughing so much when I was making it, because what was I doing? I'm just like doing these accordion lines and making it. It sounded so Mexican, and I was like, "Hell yeah, dude!" I was all about it, and the way that it ended just cracked me up, because it does the Mario theme. Yeah, so it's going da da da, and then it does the one up sound, but it doesn't do. It's just so great to be able to take those little things and throw them in there. You know, they're going to be going by so fast that most people won't catch them. But I just think that was probably my biggest challenge achieved. But the track that I definitely like the most is the Attack of the Airships.
From Mario Galaxy, yes?
I mean, it's from Mario 3, but I couldn't officially license Mario 3, but I... you know, it's the same theme in the Mario Galaxy. It's just that Mario 3 airship music, and oh man. Whenever the Mario trailer, the movie trailer came out, it was frustrating, and I had a lot of things to pick it apart. And the music was, I hate to be so mean to a composer with so much positive feedback, but you know, I just hated what he was doing. And
there's so little, like, tangent here, but there's so little understanding of, like, video games and, like, what's in them for people who make any kind of other media.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Totally, totally, totally. That's
and it's like, it's so obvious. Like, you never heard tell of Super Mario Brothers 3? It had its own movie. Surely you know something from that, maybe.
Yeah. It's so weird. And there's, I think it's just like, I got a job. I got to go do this job. You know, I was like, dude, this isn't flipping burgers, man. Like, a lot of people, this is people's childhoods. We got to get this right. So I don't know what was going on. Maybe we'll find out a little bit when the movie comes out, but
I didn't think it's going to do well.
Oh, it's going to be a huge hit, man. Huge. It's going to be huge, dude. I think that this might start the actual MCU, Mario Cinematic Universe, and we'll see. Yeah, you know, we're six years down the line. We're getting our first Toad movie.
Oh, Jesus.
I
can't wait for the Birdo side project on Netflix.
It's going to be really dark and very sexual. I really wanted Toad to just be played by Keegan-Michael Key. Just like, just be his normal rowdy self. You know what I mean? Like, if you know him from his work, he's like, hey, Mario, what are you talking about? Like, you know, just being like, we're going to do what? Like, just being like, just wild ass. But instead, they pitched his voice up and shit. And I'm just like, what's the fucking point? You could have just got a daggum AI robot or something. It's really ridiculous. It's
the name.
Man. I guess, man. I don't know. But I've always been kind of on board with Jack.
Jack Black. Yeah.
He's basically just doing a friggin' Jim Cummings impression, which is kind of like, okay, but just wanted to get Jim. But again, the name.
They couldn't get.
I love Jim Cummings, too.
It
was so weird to play Splatterhouse and hear Darkwing Duck cursing me out.
That's one of my greatest accomplishments is I got my Darkwing Duck comic book signed by him.
Nice.
It says Mustin stay dangerous.
That is badass. God.
Like, this is it, dude. I can leave now. I can leave the earth. But anyway, I took the thing and I downloaded it and the trailer and I re-uploaded it with my version, my trap version of the airship theme, which is way more interesting and cool and be so much more fun because it's got the square waves of the airship theme and then you've just got these big 808 drums and stuff and I just thought it was cool and my son liked it a lot and that was back when that first trailer dropped and whatnot. So this is one of the only, I think this is the only thing to actually carry over from before that Super Mario World track that I did. But somehow I think it was because it was a throwaway thing. I didn't save it. So I had to start all over, which thankfully it wasn't too much work. But when I was doing it, I heard this like drums like going and I pulled up all the different kinds of concert snare drums. And I'm working on the track and I'm like, no, this isn't it, man. This isn't right. I need a goddamn drum core. I don't know why. And so I started dorking around and I found this great plugin for $50, which I think is the only money I've spent on this whole album.
Oh, gee.
to get this drum core. And it just, I downloaded it and in like an hour and a half, I was just jumping up and down because I was like, this is so awesome. It's really Like, it sounds like real drum corps, like a high school band. And then with these huge beats and the freaking 808s and then a crazy synthesizer in the middle. And then, I don't know why, but, you know, this thing, nothing ever makes sense. And when it came to ending it, I think I had just recently listened to Faith No More, the epic track, which I love so much, which just brilliantly fades out to just nothing but a piano. And I was like, oh, yeah, we're doing the Faith No More. That's it. And then I just played those chords on there and the strings to the melody. And then the piano at the very end, I did the, how was that? Yeah, I put in the whistle. And the piano.
Nice.
Because it's a... I did that on both of the Mario. Well, I mean, that's Mario Galaxy, but that's Mario 3. And then in the Mario 3 track that I did, I also used the whistle. But the whistle, I saw some stupid video on the stupid YouTubes of some stupid person saying that the whistle from, God, what was it?
Zelda?
No. It was saying that it, like, what was it on? I don't know. I can't remember. There was some other place, and then, but it said that it originated from Mario 3. I was like, no, dude. No, I don't know if it was like a punk thing, you know, like a joke. It wasn't funny, but damn it, I wish I could remember what it was. But anyway,
somebody else referred to that sequence of notes. They're like, yeah, Yasunori Mitsuda used this in a lot of his tracks, so this is the Mitsuda lick, you know, like a play on the jazz lick. And I was like, yo, not only is that like a common lick, it's also literally the warp whistle theme. Also. Yes. Also, Keiichi Suzuki used it in Mother before any of that, besides Mario. It's in it's in songs in Mother. So, yeah.
The original Mitsuda.
Yeah.
Huh.
I'm trying to remember which track. Snowman. So that's Hip Tanaka, actually.
Oh,
Snowman has it. Yeah, right at the end of the B section of Snowman, like right at the end of the loop. Yeah. Is it good?
Does
it you know?
Yeah.
So it has that da-da-da-da-da, you know, the dramatic. Yeah. So yeah, I got unreasonably mad at this Mother erasure and just trying to give a composer who is a legit and very, very good composer, like, credit for something that they didn't invent, because that's right. How much they like them. I'm like, I don't know. Rub me the wrong way.
I totally feel that. And I did an arrangement of that Snowman that I love to death.
Oh, yeah. Such it's a great song. Yeah.
Turned it into a 4/4 Ben Folds thing.
Oh, that's cool.
It's pretty fun. Yeah, I got to do some vocals, which I don't often do. Stacked vocals like Ben Folds does, but
I like when you do vocal work. Before the show started, we play some music for the people lurking in chat, and I played some Mustin classics of "You Just Fucking Died" and "Nothing's Gonna Stop Me Now."
Nothing's gonna stop me now.
One of my favorite Mustin songs.
Yeah, I do some pretty good spins on that every month. I really need to do more.
Profane covers.
TV show theme songs. Yeah. Or jack them
more
up.
Profanity is always good.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah. yeah. That. So I don't know. Like, but I really would love to see like a music video for Attack of the Airships. I want to see it in the Mario movie somehow. Maybe somebody can make a, God, what do they call those when they used to take like anime and cut them to songs?
AMVs.
AMVs. That's it. Someone could do something like that. Did I send you that link, Joe, to the video teaser?
Yes.
Yeah, because at the end, when Bowser walks up, it's just so cool, man. It's like he's never looked or sounded more tough. I don't know, man. This is such a weird-ass album. So many genres. And
did you happen to see that Seth Rogen did a react video to the DK rap from Donkey Kong 64? He called it worst rap song ever made.
Really?
Yeah, and
I have some songs that are definitely proved that wrong.
He did it in that chuckly way that he does everything, but like, so it wasn't like mean or anything, but Grant Kirkhope put out his own video response to that, and his official response was "Ooh, banana."
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Wow.
So Twitter's not dead yet. It's still going.
Oh, yeah. I'm on there every minute. I hate it. I keep trying to forget it, but I can't. Yeah, I got to promote this album. Oh, man. But
so it comes out at VGM Con. How many tracks?
Oh, man. It comes out on 4/4.
4/4. When's VGM Con? That is
4/14.
4/14. Oh, man.
I will have the physical CDs out at VGM Con. That'll be the first place.
It'll be out digital on the 4th.
Yeah.
Ah, where's it going to be?
Or where? I like to put now at the end of videos, I put everywhere you like to listen.
What about Zune Marketplace?
I don't know about Zune
Marketplace. Good luck.
But it is coming to 3DS and Wii U.
Nice.
Oh, boy. Just in time.
Oh, man. Yep. So what else would you like to talk about, Mustin?
Go listen to my album. I don't know if I said before, but The Forest of Illusion is a bonus track. You can only get it on the CD or a Bandcamp.
So get it and by Bandcamp. Not only does it support artists more, but you get an extra song.
Yeah, that's the way to go, I think, because it's hard to get people to buy something if they're paying a subscription. And I get it, because I don't want to transfer a MP3 to my music, YouTube music. But there are people that still like to do that, so I want to reward them, especially if they want to buy a CD, which is really nice to support and have something physical. It's very Crow-like, you know, shiny things. That's my coin. That's my paperclip. Plus I'll sign it. I'll write your name upside down. It's whatever, you know.
Dangerous.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think that's a cool way to go. And this CD case is going to be a first for me, but I'm really excited about it because it's like all over art. So it's going to be a good looking one, even though it's going to have a really weird cover. But one thing that's fun, because my son made it so that, you know, some guy dying on the front. The back, they have, in the before time, doctors would have to put the prescription onto a piece of paper. And so I found prescription pad online, and I filled out some funny data on the back, and then I wrote the entire track list in my terrible handwriting so that it fits the theme where I signed it as Dr. Mustin.
That's excellent design.
Yeah, I thought it would be fun. And then
that's a great choice.
And yeah, thanks. And then Kubosh found this really interesting medical circle. What's it called? It's a medical thing that you would use to measure time for maybe like administering medicines or how much has happened. It's like a disc, and he used that to make the CD face, and it's so freaking cool. It's just like, it's just meant to be a clock to keep. I don't know if it's like how many times you pooped today or how many grams of morphine or whatever the fudge, but it's, I don't know why we're just on this whole medical thing, but it is very cool. I know, you know what though? I do like one thing about it, because if you have the music, you'll notice that, one, I did do dire docs, and we got to come back to that in a second, but there is two Dr. Mario theme, which is called dire docs. But with no K.
Oh, I get it.
Because I did this. I could not figure out how to do Dr. Mario. It's been done quite a bit, and it's real upbeat and everything. And then I landed on a keyboard patch, which is the Yamaha DX7 patch. And I was like, oh, this is very Doogie Howser. And I started laughing. And I went and watched the theme song from Doogie Howser, and I'm like, why the hell was this a theme song? I think later in the seasons, it went back and like added more instruments, but it was just a keyboard.
It was very sparse, yeah.
Creepy pictures of young Neil Patrick Harris. And like, I don't know, man, it was like some weird, it was almost like some kind of in memoriam for NPH. It's really strange, but the sound is great. And I was like, okay, cool. So then I got to back to my thing and I started doing the stuff. And then I was like, oh yeah, you know what? I could probably actually do this on here without sucking. That where is that daggum sound? And I love that, what do you call it? The, yeah, that's it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's Dr. Mario. So I start putting this, like, that Doogie Howser thing in there.
That's right, great.
So then I realized later, I don't know why I didn't realize at the time, but I was like, I got Dr. Mario, I got Dr. Doogie Howser, and I went to my friend, the snarky asshole, Barrel Floss, and I said, what should I name this? Because I want it to have a name that's not the same as the rest, because the rest of the album, every name is the name of the name. That's a dumb sentence. But, and he said, oh, dude, it's Dire Dire Docs. And I laughed for like 7 minutes. I just laughed.
It's a solid name. It really is.
It is.
Coincidentally, it's because of Brendel Floss that I learned the soundtrack to that game on bass.
Interesting.
Yeah, I covered it with him.
You did?
Years ago. Yeah. I was me and the old D of E was his backing band for like 5 shows.
Oh yeah. Was it called like the
Cartridge Family?
Cartridge Family. That's it.
Don't look it up on YouTube. No one got a good recording. Not a single person, but there are recordings.
Oh, man. That's a shame no one got a good recording of that.
Yeah, that's fine. It's fine. It was a thing we all tried. But, you know, when DAV broke up, then so too did the cartridge dissipate.
The cartridge was ejected.
Yeah, exactly.
Amazing. Oh, shit.
Fun shows, yeah. Though.
Yeah, I'll bet, dude. I definitely love those Dr. Mario jams. I've never done the Fever.
I don't know if Brent ever went back, because he wrote a rap for Chill that he did with us, but I don't know if he ever went back and recorded that for himself. Like, I hope he did. It was a good rap.
Man, that dude rapping, Jesus. Oh, and another thing that I did, I used my my SK-1. It's this old Casio keyboard that Gene's keyboard from Bob's Burgers is based on.
Oh, yeah.
It's like an old...
Yeah, I had that keyboard.
Yeah?
As a kid. As a little kid, yeah. That was my first instrument, technically.
So I recorded the drum beat out of here to use it on the track to make it even more authentically old and shitty.
Nice.
So Dire Docs has that old that old keyboard.
It's
drum.
So good too. It is. So
it is.
Good.
It's the first time I ever got to use that, so I'm really excited. I want to go back to the Dire Docs because I am ready to go to freaking. I'm ready to go to task on saying that it is absolutely, undeniably the sexiest video game music arrangement ever made. It is so. It is so nasty. I don't even know. And it was the hardest one. I thought it was going to be so easy. I made a demo one. I had to have all of the demo. I had a demo of every track done by the end of January. Can you still hear me?
Yeah.
My computer freaked out. So I did Dire Dire Docs. It was chill. Whatever. But then I saved it for last, knowing that it would be the easiest one. Boy, was I ever wrong. I did one that it was chilling, I guess. It was chill. It had an ocean in the background. And then I did another one. I don't know. I did two more, but the third one was like unlike anything I ever done, and I think I actually hate it. I've never really hated anything that I've done before, but I hated it. It was bad. But for some reason, luck just hit me where my YouTube Music was open and I was going to go, do the dishes or something. So I just hit play on whatever was there, and it was the song, and it was one of those like lo-fi chill tunes. And I just, boom,
study and relax potential.
Yeah, something like that, you know? And then I was like, oh my God, that's the vibe. And so when I came back and sat down, and I just made, I don't know, I went back and listened to D'Angelo and just listened to this stuff and was like, this is it. This is so sexy. It's ridiculous. And then, of course, I had to have Mr. Anthony Lofton come in and put down some tenor sax.
Oh, beautiful. And I was just about to ask what kind of guests you had on the album, if any.
Just that Tesori, a trumpet person, and then Anthony did a little backup tenor sax on the Super Smash menu, on the Melee menu, and then he played tenor on this super sexy Dire Dire Docks, and then he played his soprano on the Piranha Plant's Lullaby, which really should be called Never Gonna Wake You Up. I don't know. I've heard a lot of versions of it, and it's very pretty, like as a piano tune and all, and I'm just not heard anybody do something more upbeat with that Piranha Plant music. And then once I realized what the freaking chords were, I just started inching in more and more till the very end, where it just goes so good. It's the same chords for the whole song, but that one is the most like Mustany track, if that makes sense, because it's something that I just like would have done anyway, but as opposed to like this Mario 3 athletic theme, like I don't know where in the hell that came from, because the theme is like it's like that upbeat but the B part just has these different arpeggios. Yeah, that's it. I just keep like going back and forth between each other, and I don't know. I turned it into some weird ass, like, I don't know if you know who Laserhawk is, but it's a synthwave dude that I love. Just I don't know, and so, I don't know what the hell this album is, man. I'm just really excited about it because it's just so different from what I normally do.
I'm excited about it. It's new Mustin music. I'm excited anytime there's new Mustin music, new one-ups, anything coming out of your camp always has me excited. I've been following you for way too long. We're getting old, man. We're getting old.
Yeah, we're getting up there. And I really appreciate it. And I really hope that the folks like you are going to embrace it, you know? Try to make something for the kids, but also, you know, the kids don't know who the freak Doogie Howser is. Put in that shit for me too, you know?
Yeah.
So I just got to see. And then like the Dire Dire Docks, you know, I mean, every time I try to like poll and stuff and find out, I mean, people, they want to do the rock. They want to do the jazz. They want to do the instrumental stuff, like the kids doing piano and guitar, or piano and clarinet and harp or whatever, and then orchestra stuff or whatever, but like the R&B and hip-hop stuff just doesn't seem to want to pop off. I don't know where all my R&B kids are, because that's the more of the stuff that I like to do is like this Attack of the Airships and the Dire Dire Docks. But I've so many people have stuck with me for so long, I just hope that it hits home, like this is some new Mustin. It's a new flavor, but the same cola.
Well, I can say that it has the Joe Cam stamp of approval. Well,
I'll take it, man. So, I'll put that on the goddamn CD.
Do it. It's like scribble it in marker on everyone.
Individualized.
Yes.
Okay.
Joe Cam loved this. Mustin. Who the hell's Joe Cam? Why should we... Oh shit! Why, anyway,
the host of the SML podcast.
The host. Oh,
host.
The hose of the SML pod. Jacob's the hoe of the SML podcast.
Indeed.
It's a job.
It's a living.
It's a living.
Oh shit. Speaking of, we do have to move on with the show. We have a lot of news and reviews that we got to get to. Mustin, it's been awesome having you on. Did you want to stick around and chat news with us, or I know you already did a podcast before us. I'm sure you want to just relax.
Yeah, what are we talking about?
We got a bunch of news this week. The PlayStation Plus games for April were announced, with Meet Your Maker, Sackboy, A Big Adventure, and Tales of Iron. So PlayStation Plus has another solid month of games being added.
You know what? When you said Sackboy, it reminds me that I need to take a shower. So I should probably.
I need to that's a great way to remember.
Fucking yeah. Whatever helps. Whatever helps.
Yeah. It's a cream I have. So.
Well, Mustin, it has been amazing having you back on the show. We always love having you here. Have an amazing time at VGMCon. I unfortunately don't think I'll be able to make it there in 2 weeks unless I win the lottery or someone flies me out. But
we start walking right now.
Oh yeah, I'll hitch a ride. But
yeah,
do you have any final words before we let you get going?
Just remember when you're trying to like be. Maybe a little too cautious. Just remember thinking that I'm not here for a long time. I'm here for a good time. Those are some good last words.
Those are good last words.
You jump off of the cliff into the lake.
I was going to say, famous last words.
Famous last words, yeah. I'm not here for a long time. I'm here for a good time. That's what my son said when I was griping at him about how he bought a new motorcycle and he needs to buy a car. And he's like, hey, man, I'm not. I was like, yeah, I know you're gonna die on that thing, but you know, oh well, at least I'll get all of his stuff.
All right, well, I guess
thanks a lot.
we only got one last question. What songs would you like us to feature at the end of the show?
Do the Attack of the Airships, and then play the hit him with that Dr. Mario for me. It's so sounds fun good. To me. All right. Thanks, y'all. I appreciate it.
Have a good one, Mustin. Bye. Thanks again for joining good night. Us.
All right. Bye-bye.
Oh, man. Good shit. Everyone ready for news?
Yep.
Aki, you still awake?
Yeah. I actually, while y'all were doing that, I had y'all up as background sound so I could hear you. I finished cooking. So, yeah, I'm totally ready now.
What'd you make?
I was making my usual chicken and rice, taco-fied.
Cool. Well, let's get to news. PlayStation Plus games were announced for April. Any thoughts on PlayStation Plus that we mentioned or no?
Not really. I mean, I don't have a PlayStation. The fuck do I
care? Yeah. Sackboy's a good one, though. It's cool to see that in there. Games with gold for April were also announced, and
another shitty
one. At least I don't owe them.
Yeah, they have Out of Space Couch Edition and Peaky Blinders Mastermind.
I have no idea what those.
What was that? You cut out because you drifted away from
I the have, mic. I have no idea what either of those games are at all.
I think Peaky Blinders is something you would play.
Yeah, I've heard of the show. I wasn't sure it was actually attached to the show or not because I've never heard of the game. Oh, okay. I might like that then.
Oh, and apparently Out of Space is already up to grab for Games with Gold, so you can grab it now. EA is cutting their workforce by 6%, leading to nearly 800 jobs being lost.
Oh, yippee, a place that makes hundreds of millions to billions of dollars a year in profit can't afford to keep 800 people employed. Ooh.
Just because someone's employed doesn't mean there's work for them. So if there's no work for them, there's no reason to have them employed. It sucks, but if they don't have the work, I don't know.
I don't trust them. I never trust them.
I don't trust them either, but...
I've seen so many times where groups have just finished making this game that made the company billions, and then the whole team is just like...
Yeah, and that's shitty. That's fucking doing shitty. That. But when it's just like QA testers that get released, I mean, that's kind of in the job description.
QA test should be forever because games need more. just in general, games generally just need more of that.
Yeah. Resident Evil 4 has sold over 3 million units in the first 2 days of release.
Nice.
Jeez.
Yeah, and we'll be talking about that one a little bit later.
Yep.
What'd you say, Chris?
Oh, I said, did they give any to us?
Yes, one.
Oh, okay.
Well, all right. I got it. Nice. So we'll be talking about that one a little bit later, but Atlas Fallen has been bumped from May 16th to August 15th, so a slight delay on that one.
Oh, well, hopefully it'll be good.
I hope so. My eyes are on that one. It looks pretty solid, so.
I recognize the name, so I assume it was probably one of them I was like, ooh, I'd probably like that.
It's a Deck 13 RPG, action RPG.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Nice. Let's see. My next batch of news is just four tiny sentences. Ubisoft has pulled out of E3 2023. Sega has pulled out of E3 2023. Tencent has pulled out of E3 2023. E3 has pulled out of E3 2023.
Yeah, I saw that today. It was great.
Sounded like the right move.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, why bother paying for E3 when you can do your own thing? I mean... Yeah. Or I'm pretty sure, actually, that Ubisoft is backpacking onto Xboxes. But I mean, why pay to be part of something?
Who knows?
When you could just not pay and do it yourself and get the same information out to the same amount of people. I understand all their decisions for this. It makes sense.
Let's see.
It just works.
Well, we haven't verified that yet, but yes.
I'm just repeating an old Todd Howard aphorism.
Let's see. Aki, some great news for you. As of January 1st, 2024, Steam will officially stop supporting Windows 7, Windows 8, and Windows 8.1. After that date, the Steam client will no longer run on those versions of Windows. In order to continue running Steam and any games or other products purchased through Steam, you need to update to a more recent version of Windows.
Yo, Gabe, what the fuck, man? Come on. They could have had some sort of legacy thing.
It's apparently how the store is being rebuilt. I think it's built on like Chrome technology.
This just makes me fucking sad, man.
Oh. It
makes me sad.
Your computer's old. It's time to upgrade.
Yeah, it is.
And put it to pasture.
I don't think y'all really understand just how old my computer is. My computer.
How old is it?
It's 11 years old already.
That was a shitty joke.
Yeah, it's almost a teenager.
You're bombing up here. We gotta work on your comedy.
Yeah.
Wasn't supposed to be comedy, but...
Then why are you on stage?
I don't know. Why did y'all put me on
Get
stage?
Off the stage. Get off the stage. Boo!
No, it's from the stage. There you go. Be happy.
The online beta for Multiversus is closing on June 25th, supposedly in preparation for a full release in early 2024. My thoughts is that the game is dead.
I don't know. I kind of think it's dead too, but you never know. Maybe they just want to turn it into a paid thing.
Maybe.
I think that's what they're going to do is they're just going to make it paid.
Well, it kind of was paid because you had to buy the characters and shit, but
yeah,
who knows what they're going to do. If you had any purchases in the game, they are non-refundable.
Yeah, so. That's some bullshit, man.
Really.
But hey,
anytime you purchase anything in a game, it's non-refundable. This is just, Knockout City didn't give refunds either, which sucks considering they were selling fucking Ninja Turtles costumes after they announced their closure.
Yeah, and they're not bringing it to the free one, which is weird. However, just because it's closing, and I'm not talking about Knockout City, I'm talking about Multiversus, you can still play it even afterwards. You just can't play it online with other people.
Mm.
So you can still play against robots, who are still going to kick your ass, just like everyone else who is playing it online. But, you know, still, you get to just get your ass kicked by AI who aren't going to message you and say you suck or something, you know.
Yeah.
That's part of the fun.
No, it is not.
I always enjoyed having 12-year-olds tell me what they're going to do to my mom.
We know.
I hate children.
So, up next in Sonic the Hedgehog video game cameo news.
Okay, I'm interested.
Sonic will be a part of the upcoming Samba de Amigo Party Central for the Switch. I'll have a stage where he's the character dancing alongside you, and two Sonic tracks will be in the game, with Fist Bump from Sonic Forces and Escape from the City from Sonic Adventure 2.
That's awesome.
But is Shadow the Hedgehog going to be dancing in there?
I don't know. Well, maybe that's DLC.
Hopefully.
The Dolphin emulator is going to be getting a Steam release somehow. It will obviously not come with any games. But just the fact that they're releasing an emulator for GameCube games on Steam is very weird.
Nice.
It is weird. I predict that that's going to last a long time and will not cause any issues.
Definitely not.
I mean, they're not including any games with it, so they're not breaking any rules.
It is technically perfectly legal to have an emulator.
Yeah.
And to have copies of emulated games for games you own.
Supposedly.
So it is perfectly legal. Yeah.
Well,
I mean, not like just because it's legal doesn't mean that
Nintendo
isn't going to go after you anyways. Because, I mean...
Yeah.
Let's, I think it'd be easier to call it decriminalized emulation rather than totally, like, you know... Because, like other medias, the law is really terrible when it comes to knowing what video games are, how they work.
Yeah.
IMO.
Yeah, I can't argue with that, because there's still fucking lawmakers who are like, oh, video games make you violent, so, you know.
I always had this idea for a thing that I've wanted to do, like, either a blog or a TikTok or something, where just showing, like, the bits of any movie or TV show where they're pretending to play a video game and they're doing it completely wrong.
Oh, please do. You could make an entire series of that. There's hours of that out there.
Yeah. It's 100% of all video games, like, shown on other media is done wrong.
No.
For some reason. Or it's like,
let's never forget Charlie's Angels with the 2-player Final Fantasy.
Oh, yeah. Wait, which Final Fantasy?
8, I think. 7
okay,
or 8.
Yeah, that one's not one of the weirdly actually 2-player ones. Okay. About to give them a pass, but not anymore.
No, they don't deserve
also,
it.
Also, they should know they are a video game on the GameCube. It was a wonderful treasure of a video game.
Speaking of the GameCube, the latest rumor picking up steam is that Skies of Arcadia might finally be getting a remaster. There's no platforms mentioned, but some leaker supposedly has pictures of the game in action. I really, really hope this is real.
That would be nice. That's a good game.
I don't even know what that is. So.
It's literally the only game I still own on the Dreamcast.
Sega RPG from the Dreamcast that was later ported to the GameCube and nowhere else.
Oh, hopefully it comes out then. I need more RPGs.
Both versions are hundreds of dollars too.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, it's a very delightful romp through being a sky pirate who pilots an airship, and
I've played RPGs like that. Nice.
Yeah, it's a great little game. But very
Dreamcast. There's a buy it now for $140. GameCube. There's a buy it now for $150. No manual.
Oh boy!
Holy shit!
Yeah,
jumping right on that.
Now I'm looking to see if anyone has one of the statues on eBay. I wanted one of those Vice statues so bad.
He's pretty cool.
Oh, man. Some bad news. It was announced that The Long Dark is going to be leaving Game Pass on April 16th.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah.
That's a good game.
And then final bit of news I have is The Last of Us Part 1 released on the PC to universal criticism. Yes, the Naughty Dog Classic is plagued by performance issues on the PC. A lot of people are pointing the finger at Iron Galaxy, saying that they did a bad port job, but some other people are saying Naughty Dog handled this one in-house a lot, so who knows?
A lot of times people will complain about, why isn't this game on this platform? And it's like, that's why. It's harder than it looks.
Yeah.
to change platforms on a game.
There's no magical flip a switch and it works button.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd heard it had been ported by the company, not by Naughty Dog themselves. And I'm like, well, that doesn't shock me that it's bad, because They're also the ones who did the Batman Arkham game that still is unplayable. Literally is not playable. That's still on Steam. That's shit. Yeah. So, you know, that didn't shock me. It's a shame, but that happens.
What are you going to do? Bimber is mentioning that there was a Pokemon game that recently sold for a lot of money, apparently like 70 grand. I think it was, a version of Pokemon Stadium 1 or 2. Was it Stadium or whatever it was on the GameCube? But it came with a bonus disc that let you download, I think, Jirachi.
The fuck is Jirachi?
Just another Pokemon, like a rare Pokemon.
So is this like one of those WADA scams, or was this just like a Pokemon fan with too much money?
Yes.
Well,
who knows?
But yeah, anytime I see big numbers, I look for you know, grifter involvement.
No. But that's the news I have. Anyone else have anything?
We never did talk about how Sony kind of got bitch slapped by Congress.
Well, tell us about it.
Well, Congress decided, hey, you know, you've been talking a lot of shit about Xbox and buying this company. Y'all are keeping all the really nice Japanese games to yourselves. How fucking dare you?
Apparently, it was just like the one congressperson from Washington where Microsoft is based, and she's gotten donations from Microsoft. So,
oh yeah, she 100% fucking paid off. 100%. But
it's good to see someone like actually point out the fact that hey, Sony's pulling a lot of like they just announced fucking Live Alive is coming to PS4, PS5, and PC. No Xbox. Every game that Square has announced for this year is on PlayStation, Switch, and PC. No Xbox. They have zero games announced for Xbox.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, it's pretty bonkers. But Jacob, which any means- news?
I actually have no news.
Good.
Well, you know, I got my homework done that y'all gave me last time. I watched that Dead or Alive movie.
Oh.
Nice.
And
it was okay. I mean, I do like the girls in bikinis. I mean, I'm not going to complain about that, but that movie was just okay. I then turned around. Yeah, its story was shit. Deal with
it. Of course it was. No.
Yeah, I was hoping it would have a halfway decent story. And it was really weird. We didn't say
it was a good movie. We said it was an awesome movie.
Yeah, learn the difference.
Yeah.
We didn't
guarantee quality.
Well, that's true.
We just guaranteed entertainment.
Okay, it was an entertaining movie. I cannot deny that. It was stupid, but it was entertaining. It was really weird seeing the lady from My Name is Earl on there. That was weird.
Oh, you should see some of her early roles.
Yeah. I didn't even know she had roles other than apparent My Name is Earl in this movie.
Google her name and Poison Ivy.
No.
Wait, what?
This is going to hurt my feelings. I can already tell. I just feel it. And in
not
myself.
Not comic Poison Ivy.
Oh, okay.
Oh, then I'm significantly more confused as to who you're referencing. I don't even know what her name is. What's her name?
I don't remember either.
Jamie Presley.
Yeah, Jamie Presley. I think it's Poison Ivy, the new seduction.
Is this safe for work to look
No, up? Jacob, it is not.
Okay.
If I'm telling Aki to Google, I should tell her to Bing it, actually. I am
binging it. That's what I always. Wait, she was in that? I recognize this movie. I didn't realize that was her. Huh. That was a good movie. Because I have watched that.
Yeah, there you go. That's Jamie Presley in her early days. But should we get to reviews? We got a couple reviews we got to take care of. Chris, do you want to go first?
Well, I'm doing one with Jacob, right?
Yeah, the two of you.
Yeah, that's fine.
I figure you've been hanging out, we'll just let you get going, so.
Oh, okay.
First game to talk about tonight is Saga of Sins, developed by Bonus Level Entertainment, published by Just for Games, released March 30th on Xbox Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5 for $19.99, PC for $14.99. Saga of Sins is an expiatory? What?
Exploratory?
No, it's expiatory. That's what the Steam page says. Anyway, action-adventure which features a mystical storyline and a rewarding arcade gameplay. Transform into demonic creatures and fight the seven deadly sins. Jacob and Chris, both of you check this one out. Who wants to start?
Jacob.
Okay. Also, just so you know, the word that you're struggling with, it means it has the power to atone for something.
I was also looking for that. Yeah, propitiation is another. These are like church words for fancy people.
Oh, I don't know those words.
Like, those are the words you'll hear. Those are the kind of words you'll hear at churches that don't worship guns.
I was going to say, you're more likely to hear it with Catholics that, you know, think Vatican II was a little too, liberal.
Anyway, Saga of Sins.
Anyway, so in Saga of Sins, it is a platformer game that is very much a Metroidvania. I guess I'd call it like a Metroidvania light. All right, let's rewind. You are this guy who's coming back from the Crusades, and the town that you like used to live in, you haven't been there in a long time. Everyone's just like, oh, I remember him. Like, you know, yeah, I was so glad you came back. And your friend over at the church is like, yo, everything's like really messed up, but we have the ability to save everyone and get rid of all the sins that are in this area. And so what it is that you have this power to go into people's minds. And when you do that, like, you can go in and you can kill all the demons, which is a lot of, you know, jumping here and there. Like, there's minor puzzles that have to get solved. But it's nothing too insane, which I really did appreciate, because for somebody like me who is not the best at at 2D platformers and Metroidvanias, I'm just not the best at them. You know, this game it felt like a more relaxed approach, and it really just wanted you to get into the art style, which is done in a stained glass window art style. It looks gorgeous. It is beautiful. But anyway, so you're going through all these people's minds, and you just have to either defeat all of the enemies that are on a level. Sometimes you have to pick up, just pick up like random pieces, glass shards, which will help fix some of the stained glass windows in your church. Which then, once you fix those are going to give you superpowers, and you get like the powers of like the werewolf and the griffin, and like you can either shoot energy blasts or you could use it to like hop up to like a little bit higher place. And all of these could be upgraded as well. All these different powers that you can get by going through the levels and just picking up coins and stuff like that. And yeah, it's just, you go after all of the town, like, you don't, it's not like you're chasing down the town people, like, come here, let me heal you. You're just going through the village, and each of the sins has, like, two or three different people that, you know, are suffering from the sin, like gluttony or lust or whatever. And after you've beaten those people, there's also, like, a boss character that you'll eventually have to beat. And again, none of the, like, I mean, is it challenging? For me, it was a little, but again, I've also said I'm not the best at these kind of games. What drew me in was the art style, but you know, these are boss battles that eventually you can beat. And then as you go through the village, it's just that, I mean, that's pretty much it. It's you traveling out from the monastery, going into the village. And there are some people in the village who aren't afflicted by anything, and those act more as like more like bonus levels, kind of like a Mario like cloud area where you're just like hopping around like gathering all the coins and stuff, very much in the similar vein. And that's pretty much all you do in the game, like, which is kind of, I mean, it kind of sucks because it feels like there's not like a whole lot difference through like from when you started the game to when you finish it. It never really feels that different. And it ends up being a tad repetitive, but honestly, like, I was having fun while playing it. And yeah, the as I said before, the visuals are just stunning for this game. I love it. Yeah.
Chris, what are your thoughts on it?
Okay, so on top of the that was a great synopsis, Jacob, by the way. Yeah, on top of the aesthetics, I have to praise the fact that it is pretty much fully voice acted. And your main character, for some reason, is Scottish. It is never explained. This doesn't take place in Scotland. It's, you know, definitely like Crusades era England. But anyways, I don't know. But yeah, you're, yeah, the stained glass thing is definitely, like, it does catch the eye. It looks really, really nice. I will say that this is sometimes at the expense of some frames per second when you get into the levels where there's more than two enemies on the screen. So, you know, I will say, while it's not mired, it does feature some performance issues on
the Switch. And you played on the Switch, right?
I played on the Switch, yeah, so maybe this wasn't a thing for the other system.
I was going to say, I didn't have any issues with performance on this.
And it was really, yeah, for me, it was only when the screen was getting a bit busy. And, but you know, we're kind of trained to look for this stuff now.
And we're also trained to pay attention to subs, and I apparently missed one. Raider Biz subbed 27 minutes ago, and I didn't what the hell happened that I missed that? Raider Biz, for the 12th month, thank you so much for being a sub. Love having you here. And for people who are paying attention in chat, we're doing a giveaway, so look at it. Saga of Sins, what else is going on in this game?
Yeah, so... I do like the approach to, you know, kind of breaking up smaller platforming levels in a way like this. In a way, it kind of reminds me of Castlevania Portrait of Ruin, where, you know, you enter a painting in order to get to a new small level, but it keeps the levels from, you know, from needing to have like a central theme, because you're in somebody's mind. So essentially, you're fighting their imagination and, you know, their... worse impulses or whatever, which you know, the only thing is that, yeah, the, you know, like the gluttony levels, it's all the same background, you know, it's all the same traps and stuff, and you are expected to backtrack in order, I don't know how exactly, but you are expected
walking to, lots of walking.
Okay. I was gonna say, because what I did is all the villagers were like conveniently standing in the exact order that I needed to beat the levels in. So, I guess then I just didn't find how to re-enter levels. But yeah, if you, you know, go through it once with the werewolf power, you're supposed to go back to it with the, you know, with the griffin power and such, you know, 'cause the griffin can breathe fire, which can break down, wooden boxes, which inexplicably your, all of your werewolf powers can't manage. But, you know, werewolf can double jump and things like that. By the way, time to double jump is immediate. As soon as you get your first power, which is the werewolf, you do have the double jump.
Nice.
Yeah, I like to keep track of that, too.
One of your...
yeah, it's interesting that the levels do just kind of eventually just end with, you know, picking up an apple, who then, you know, kind of... you know, in a very biblical way, like, as soon as you pick up the evil skull apple thing, it, like... plays a cutscene and it tempts you into, and like, you know, tells you about how saving people from sins is silly and religion is kind of goofy, and, you know, that priest guy never takes his hood off and seems kind of sus, and, you know, etc. And your guy is just like, well, I don't know what that was all about. Anyway, I'm gonna go do my thing again. And I do like that, you know, you pay for upgrades on a literal skill tree. It's like actually a painting of a tree that, you know, branches off as you unlock more powers.
Nice.
And you do it through paying the money that you get in the level. So there is incentive to get the money. There's also bonuses if you use a specific move against monsters, and the more monsters you can take down with the special move, the more money you get. Yeah, there's some cool stuff going on here, but ultimately, yeah, I mean, the only thing that I would say about it is that it could have used as much attention paid to the variety of things that you can do with the actual action of the game, that they, you know, if they would have paid as much attention to that as they did to the aesthetics, which again are very, very good, then this would be like a top tier game. But as it stands, I mirror Jacob a little bit by saying that it does kind of get a little, oh, I know what's going on here, and I can predict what's happening next. Bosses are cool, though.
Well, the game's 15 on PC, 20 on console. What do the two of you think?
Okay with that. For $20. I thought it was a good experience, and if you're somebody like me who likes the idea of a Metroidvania but just really sucks at playing them, then like this is a good pick for that.
Yeah, I'm gonna say this is definitely for folks who are like interested in like kind of religious allegory, you know, not like super negative on religion or anything like that, but it is like, you know, it's got some of that, you know, they're definitely, you know, kind of getting into that old religious allegory territory. If you like that, but something like, you know, Blasphemous might be like way too much for you, because that game's high difficulty and has like a lot of gore and like a lot of disturbing stuff and like absurd, you know, like kind of.
And this game's only E10, so it's not super violent. This game,
exactly. Like, this is a great, you know, beginner to medium skilled like action platformer. It doesn't force you to learn like all these complicated moves. You know, you can just get through the levels, and you know, they just get progressively a little bit harder, but ultimately, you know, you're not going to find too much frustration here. So if you're in that camp, it's a buy it. If you are somebody who's played through like every Castlevania, including the classic Vanias, and you know, you breeze through Blasphemous, you're on your, you know, 100th replay of Dead Cells or something like that, this might not be your game. However, it's at least, I appreciate the fact that the aesthetics here are going for something really new and fresh, yeah. Which we always like that. So I'm very positive on this game. I'm just gonna say the lower difficulty and not as much advanced mechanics kind of keep it out of the hardcore's radar, I would say.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Chris, that is it for you. We will let you get going. Thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. It was great to talk to Mustin as well. So thank you for having me tonight.
Always, good night, Jacob. Always good. Have a good one. Night.
We'll see y'all when y'all infiltrate our Tuesdays. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, next up is King of the Arcade, developed and published by Supervillain Games, releasing April 11th on Xbox One and Series X and S for only $7.99. Featuring over 40 playable games, King of the Arcade lets you play as former champ Mac McCormick fighting to save Castle's Arcade from a hostile takeover. With epic boss battles and open-world arcade, reclaim your title as King in this ultimate arcade experience. Jacob, tell us about your time playing King of the Arcade.
So, King of the Arcade, it's almost like the best way to view it is like you're almost like getting like two different experiences. One of them is a private arcade, and that's just like the whole entire arcade from the game. You have access to all the machines, but what's really cool about it is that you can also do two-player couch co-op if you want. And so that's, you know, that's kind of neat in itself, but all the games in this are based on classic arcade games. Like, I mean, there's pretty much, if you could think of like a classic arcade game, like there is like a version or something similar to it. I mean, like there's a Burger Time thing. There's like a there's plenty of like there's a version of like a light gun game. There's arcade driving games. The very first game you have to beat it's a Space Invaders clone. Like there's just no other way to put it. Like, yeah, it's, like
these are all clones of games that you know and love,
right.
Lovingly recreated just differently enough to escape by any legal ramifications.
Yeah. And I'm kind of curious how that'll turn out. It's with the private arcade thing, you know, it's just you, the arcade, you can mess with some of the game modes and stuff. But the main reason why everyone's going to be playing this is that there is a story mode, and the story mode has you as this down on your luck former arcade king. Like, you won some sort of competition, like when you were like 12 or 13 years old, you were the best in the world. And now it's 20 years later and you're unemployed, broke, and looking for work. And so you come back to the arcade because you figured this is where I could get a job, and you have to prove yourself. And you have to prove yourself with playing Space Invaders. And I'm not going to lie, I found it frustrating as hell. And I was telling Joe about this. So back when I was a teenager, I actually quote unquote turned over the machine, which is a phrase that I had heard back then, but since then nobody else has ever used it, and I'm just like, did I just meet this weird subsection of the internet that never used that phrase, or nobody else has ever used that phrase or whatever. But anyway, so I made the score turn it back over to zero, which on the original arcade machine, it took me all fucking day to do it on Space Invaders for the Game Boy Color. But anyway, I did it. And so now I'm playing this game almost 20 years after that, kind of a similar to the plot thing. And it's like, all right, well, you have to beat level 5 to get up to this. And I'm just like, how the fuck did I do this as a teenager? How the hell did I beat a game? And I am struggling to get to level 5 of Space Invaders. Like, this is abysmal, but I did it.
Nice.
And so, so after you're hired, you get to, like, you now have to clear out the arcade. And there are all these, like, rowdy quote-unquote tough guys, and essentially what it is that you just have to beat them at the game to get them out of the arcade and, you know, restore the arcade to its rightful glory. And just by doing that, you just have to play all the different games and then beat them. So the writing is pretty funny, like in terms of like the dialogue, but in all reality, it's like, provided you're not sucking at everything, which some of us may have that issue. Mostly me, but it seems to go by pretty quick. And so really for this game, it's, you're buying it for that like old arcade experience, with games that, you know, you remember, like, I mean, these are going to be clones that are pretty well, so you're not playing the originals, but you know, as you said, it's close enough.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I dug it. Like,
My favorite thing about this game was when I looked it up today and I saw the price. Going into this, I didn't know the price tag before today. In my mind, it was like a $20, $25 game.
Okay.
It's $8.
Yeah.
It is so friggin' cheap for what's there. There's 40 games in this thing and it's $8.
Yeah, for $40, or yeah, 40. For $8, like, honestly, this game is a bit of a steal. Like, yeah. There's plenty of content, like more than $8 worth. Yeah,
even if all the games aren't winners, and with 40 of them there, I'm sure there's a couple of stinkers in there. I didn't play them all, but
right.
The quantity is there. The quality from what I've played is there, and the price is fantastic. So for $8, I give this one a buy it.
Yeah, I would too. Like, you know, it was like, it's not exactly like my favorite kind of game out there. Like, I was still more of a fan of arcade Paradise. I forget that? Yeah, thank you. I was gonna call it Paradise, but I was like, that doesn't feel quite right. I was still more of a fan of Arcade Paradise, but also that game costs more than this.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is worth it too.
Cool. All right, Jacob, that's it for you. Figured cool. I would let you get out of here early because it's a late
thanks
one.
Joe,
eat shit.
Appreciate it.
Eat shit.
Okay.
Bye. You have any final words? Eat shit. Just hung up. Love it. Oh, man. Anyway, we got a couple of more reviews to take care of. Aki, are you ready for these now that Jacob's gone?
Yes, I think like.
Or do you want to party now. First now that he's gone?
Oh, partying sounds good. That time it sounded like you were dying, but okay.
Yay! Next game to talk.
Oh shit! I'm good.
All right. Next game to talk about is Resident Evil 4, developed and published by Capcom, released March 24th on Xbox Series X and S, PS5, and PC for $59.99. 6 years have passed since the biological disaster in Raccoon City. Agent Leon S. Kennedy, one of the survivors of the incident, has been sent to rescue the president's kidnapped daughter. He tracks her to a secluded European village where there is something terribly wrong with the locals. As the curtain rises on this story of daring rescue and grueling horror where life and death, terror and catharsis intersect. Aki, tell us about your time playing Resident Evil 4.
All right. If you've played the original Resident Evil 4, you know what you're getting into. Most of the story beats are all the same. They've removed some stuff, like the fight with the super monster that just won't take damage. Sadly, that's gone. I thought that fight was really fun, so I'm kind of sad that they got rid of that. They have brought in some new stuff. You now got, like, 19, I think it was, side quests, which are just these little mini things you do. Like, some of them might be shooting blue medallions, some of them might be go kill some rats, stuff like that.
Well you're saying stuff if we know what Resident Evil is. For the people who don't know what Resident Evil 4 is, for those people just jumping in for the first time, let's cover the basics first before the new stuff.
Resident Evil is a zombie shooting series. This is the game where you don't shoot zombies.
Zombies go grumble, you go boom boom.
Yeah, basically that is most of the Resident Evil games until you get to 4. Then they change it up. Then you're fighting other people that have something called Las Plagas, which makes them basically zombies, but not quite zombies. They're somewhat different.
Yeah, they're horrifying, mutated zombie, mutant, beast creatures that can rip your fucking body apart.
Yeah, they're evil little bastards. And you've gone looking for the president's daughter, Ashley, who has also changed, thank fuck, at this sleepy, you know, Latin place.
European village.
Yeah.
Secluded European village.
Very secluded. This is like...
There's like no running water.
Yeah, well, through most of the town, yes. No, there isn't. it's bad. Like, they have a well, like the one where you pump the water out of, in the middle of their main town. That's it. That's all their running water. They don't have bathrooms anywhere. They have an outhouse. Or they go in the woods. I'm not sure. Because I swear
I saw... We're getting off topic.
Yeah, maybe a little. But you're there to go find the president's daughter. And you find out that there's a lot of crazy monsters.
And hijinks ensue.
Yeah. Basically, Leon is prepared for this kind of stuff because he survived the first... Second Resident Evil game, where an entire city was turned into zombies for the most part, and he survived that. He's been recruited into the special place that who knows what it's called. So he's kind of prepared for situations like this. And he's trying to stop some bad assholes. If you've played any of the prior Resident Evil games, even if it's just the newer ones, some of that stuff has made a comeback. For instance, in the prior games, like the original Resident Evil 4, when you aim at something, you aim at it, and you can shoot it in the head, and it's easy, and it's quick, and it's nice. This takes the route of, like, Resident Evil 7 and 8, where you have to aim at something, and then the crosshairs, after a little bit, snap together so you have an accurate shot, which I hate. Because Leon is, again, trained for this. 7 and 8, it made sense because they don't know shit about guns. So that kind of irritated me. Eventually, you can get around that with some attachments for weapons and stuff, but I didn't like that when I first started it. Other than that, it is a very much an upgrade to the original game. Everything looks significantly more realistic.
Visually, this game is just insane looking. It is gorgeous. It's
probably the best looking game I've ever seen.
And the thing is, it's not gorgeous. It is disgustingly, awfully ugly, but in the best way possible.
Yes, it is. Everything in here is, you know, kind of drab colors and stuff, but that's on purpose because this is like a rundown old town and, you know, tunnels and stuff like that. So it's not like, oh, all the bright, most beautiful colors. No, this is real life, yo. You have to slug through shit to get things done. Sometimes it is what it is. Lots of this, again, as I said, has the same story beats. They have removed some things like the fight against the It monster. And there's a few other things they got rid of, but I don't remember what they were anymore because it's
well, they're been gone, a while. So they don't matter.
Yeah, true. It's just, you know, some of it's a shame. Like, it, I really
it seems like it's a
fight.
More streamlined experience from what you're saying, and that they took out some of the stuff that kind of drug the game down.
See, significantly. Oh man, I need to sneeze. Shit, come on, sneeze.
Do it, do it, do it, do it.
And now it's gone.
Oh.
I hate when that happens. Now my nose hurts. Oh. I'm glad I didn't, because I know I would never fucking hear the end of it. I had the mousiest sneeze, and people never let me hear the end of it.
Oh, God. Now I really wish it happened.
I'm so glad it didn't. it is so much mousier than that. So, it is very much streamlined. And there are... all the stuff like how you gain points and you can unlock new things in later runs that's been in the newer games is in this one. And some of them are for getting S ranks or S plus ranks on your playthroughs, and they don't stack annoyingly, apparently. And the thing about that is you can't play New Game Plus for those. They prevent you from getting above A rank, I believe. And, in order to get that, you have to beat the game real fast. I think on normal, I think it's like 5.5 hours. So, yeah, the game is very streamlined. You can beat it pretty quickly if you know what you're doing and you're running like a chicken with the head cut off. You may
you
not
don't
get
do
it.
That your first time playing through. You gotta explore and you gotta savor everything and you gotta find collectibles and...
Thankfully, this game doesn't have any collectibles other than just finishing the quests. The quests... Well, no.
Didn't they have the blue medallions you could shoot?
The blue medallions are part of quest. Instead, there are now 16, I think it is, little statues of Roman, one of the bad guys, that you have to destroy. Those are the only collectibles. And those are really easy to find, especially if you have subtitles on, because it's fairly loud. It's a mechanical doll, basically, and it's pretty loud. And if you have subtitles on, when you get close to one, it will actually tell you mechanical sounds, which makes it so much easier to find them.
Gives it away a little.
Yeah, I missed a total of one of them while playing the game. The very last one, ironically. And I didn't realize until I went into New Game Plus and saved over that save, which sucks ass. And I wasn't even really looking that hard for them. I just happened across them. I was like, oh, let's go ahead and do it. Whatever.
Fall into the abyss of my
gaping butthole. And the great thing about this is once they're destroyed. No matter what playthrough you do later, doesn't matter. They're gone. Permanently forever.
That's good.
Yeah, it's pretty fantastic. And you
get the game in general is pretty fantastic.
Oh, yes. I love this game. It is great. The best part about this, for anyone who's played Resident Evil 4, the original, Ashley isn't annoying fuck. Which is, like, had they only changed that, I think everyone here would have been just so fucking happy.
Help!
Exactly. Now, Ashley, granted, she's scared at first because, you know, who wouldn't be in this situation? But she's not screaming Leon constantly or anything. Instead, she's actually pretty quiet. She'll have conversation parts with Leon. But other than that, she shuts the fuck up, which is just perfect. And even if she didn't, her voice isn't as grating because it's not super high pitch. Nice. Now, instead of sounding like a 5-year-old, she sounds like she's in her 20s, which is fantastic. Her looks even gotten upgraded. Sadly, that also means you can't see upper skirt. But, you know, hey, that's life.
Of course, the lesbian wants to look up the skirt.
She's cute. What can I say? One of the best things ever does come back to the game. You can unlock different outfits in the game. You have to buy them with the points. And one of them is the suit of armor, which
sweet.
Is, yes, it's fantastic. I have not unlocked that yet. I am so hyped to. But I have unlocked Leon's pinstripe suit, the old mobster thing suit that was like from the 60s or whatever.
Nice.
I've unlocked that and it looks so bitchin'.
I'm waiting for Capcom to release the Unlock Everything DLC for like $5 where I could just pay that and then get like the suit of armor and the and whatever cool ass outfit Leon has and like an unlimited Chicago typewriter right at the start of the game so I could just blaze through it.
That gun
That's
is
what I'm waiting
too.
For.
This time there's only three special items. One of them is a knife that you actually get for breaking all the statues, which is a shame that I don't have it. Technically, there's because the three special ones you have to unlock in the point shop. Another one is the hand cannon, which everyone knows and loves because it will kill pretty much everything. It's a specialty magnum, I believe. And then there's obviously the Chicago typewriter, which is an SMG that you can equip. And after you upgrade it, it does get infinite ammo, just like the prior game.
It fires forever and ever and ever.
The hand cannon is just really strong. It doesn't get infinite ammo. And the knife can be made to where it doesn't break, because your knife does break in this game now.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
Yeah, it kind of sucks. But they give you plenty of knives, and you make money pretty quickly. So as long as you're upgrading the durability of your knife, because it is an upgradable weapon, it's actually not too bad. Knowing that, I was like, okay, this isn't terrible. I can do this. It wasn't bad. And you can unlock a different knife, too, other than just the specialty knife and the starting one. So that's nice. None of the other weapons get infinite ammo, though, except for the rocket launcher, which you can buy on your second playthrough. Well, you can't buy it in your second playthrough, probably, but it's there.
Eventually, you can get it. But the game's sitting at $60. The big question here is, are you buying?
Yes. You put all that money down. It is a fantastic game. I think everyone will like this. If you like first-person shooters, you're going to like it. Just go out and have fun.
Cool. Next game to talk about is Sifu, developed by Slow Clap, published by Slow Clap and Kepler Interactive, released March 28th on Xbox One, Series X and S for $39.99, previously available on PlayStation and Switch and PC. Is one life enough to have kung fu? Whether you choose to play as male or female character in Sifu, you will ponder that question on your path for revenge, hunting down your family's assassins. One against all, you have no allies, countless enemies, and a mysterious amulet to bring you back to life every time you die. Yet be warned, your secret weapon comes with a hefty price to pay, aging and its consequences. Aki, what is Sifu?
It's hard, is what Sifu is. It's hard. In Sifu, you play as this 20-something-year-old male or female. And the right answer is the female, because she's cute. and basically, when you're a child, some people came in and basically beat up or killed all the people who used to go to your, I assume, grandfather's dojo, and killed him as well for something. You don't know what exactly they took. Your character does, but you don't. And then one of them slit your throat when they found you, and you were only like maybe six. So you know, they're good people, great people, the best people, which is exactly why what happens to them. And you know, you come back to life because of a magic set of coins that you have, which is fantastic. And you keep those with you forever and ever. And then you go about training until you're 20. And then you're like, okay, now I am ready to go kick the shit out of these pieces of shit and watch them die, and it'll be fantastic. Revenge, baby. And yeah, you have figured out basically where all these people are, and you just have to get to them. And each level is basically a long level of kicking the shit out of their goons and then killing the shit out of the boss and hopefully not dying too many times. Every time you die, you go up 1 year until one of your medallions break, because eventually they will. And at that point, however many deaths you've had, you go up that many years. So you can go up a lot of years real quick. But throughout the level, you beat the shit out of people. This is all about learning when to block and dodge. And it is very specific about the timing. And I'm very bad at it. Like, here, let me put it this way. I'm playing it on easy, because there are three difficulties. And when you're playing it on the easy mode, you also have little things that you can put on that prevent your score at the end of the level from being calculated, but I don't know if that matters for anything. And basically, one's like, oh, the enemy attacks slower, the enemies are weaker, and you can get health back every time you beat up or take down an enemy. And I'm still having trouble.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, this game's tough as fucking nails.
Damn.
Like, the normal fights aren't always too bad. Some of them, you know, you can get... This game is not beyond putting, like, 15 people in a room, and they will all fight you at the same time. They act like real people. They're not going to sit there and have one-on-one little battles with you. So, you know, you might be fighting one person, someone comes up from behind you and just sucker punches you in the back of the fucking head. You have to pay attention to what's going on around you and move your camera around so you can see the little assholes coming up behind you. I don't know how many times I've been fucking punched in the back of the damn head, little bastards. And all
the
of these,
game.
Yeah, all these people know various forms of martial arts. So they're competent fighters. Occasionally, one of them, when you go to beat them up, finally, they'll turn into super powered people or something. I don't really understand what it is. And they get their full health bar back, and their health bar becomes much harder and stronger. So you have to hit them significantly more, and they get better at fighting. And it's kind of scary when that happens in the middle of a fight and you still have like a dozen people left to beat up. And it's like, shit, now I have someone who can really hurt me here. However, thankfully, if you have them around, you usually get significantly more HP if you're playing on easy and have that ability on. otherwise, I guess you're fucked. Throughout the level, you can occasionally find some shrines. I think there's three per level. And basically, you can say, okay, there's three sets of three choices. The first three are whenever you reach this age, i.e. when you die enough, you will unlock this ability. And each ability has three upgrades to it to make it stronger and stronger. The next one is, oh, your score for this level, you can use it to get yourself one of these upgrades. And then the last one is, oh, the money that you've made, the experience that you've made in this level, you can use that to get one of these three upgrades. And they are permanent when you go into the next level. So if you get like this score one, this money one, and this age one in the first level, it's still there on level two. And you can just keep building on them every level you play.
So it's a tough game, but they do throw some things in there to try helping you out.
Yes.
How does the game perform on Xbox? It was on PlayStation for a while, jumped over to Switch. It's finally on Xbox. Was it worth the wait?
Yes, it is fantastic. It's especially if you're bad at it, it is fantastic because originally there wasn't difficulty modes. So
thanks for beta testing, PlayStation. Thanks for getting us the good version.
Yes. It also comes with an arena mode that I haven't unlocked yet,
which is new. That's new with this new release and new update on all platforms is getting this arena mode. So
yeah, I haven't actually played with that yet because it tells you when you go to play it, it says you want to wait on this until you've beaten the main campaign. Because it's apparently incredibly difficult, I'm sure, even on easy, because that's just how it is. I'm on a third boss right now, and she's kicking the shit out of me. So
nice.
Yeah.
Well, Sifu's sitting at $39.99. What are your thoughts? Okay.
Yes, go get this. This is fantastic. You want this game. It is really fun. And yeah, go play it.
And if you don't like Sifu, try the steak. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha.
I don't get it.
Sifu.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Try the steak.
That was terrible. And you should feel bad.
Next game to talk about is The Guys, developed by Razul Mano, published by Rattleaka Games, released March 17th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5 for $5.99. The Guys is a dark Metroidvania fairy tale about a boy trapped in the body of a monster. Can he hold on to his humanity? It is up to you. Our friend Andy Sperry wrote in a review of this one. This is what he's got to say. The Guys follows the journey of a young boy named Ogden who lives in an orphanage and is taken care of by a mysterious woman named Mallory. One night while Mallory is out, Ogden and a few other orphans decide to investigate Mallory's off-limits room. There inside they find a mask and Ogden is dared to try it on. The mask turns Ogden into a four-legged beast, sending him rampaging through the night. Mallory returns to find the beastly Ogden and brings him back home to the orphanage. Thus begins the story of The Guys and the player's quest of changing Ogden back into a real boy. The Guys, developed by Razul Mano and published by GameNet, offers an intriguing Metroidvania experience. The experience combines platforming and careful combat mechanics with plenty of exploring and revisitations to discovered locations not yet reachable. With plenty of dark-themed levels to explore, platforming and discovery can be checked off the list. Darkness is used heavily and creates a spooky aesthetic to level and character designs. The use of layered backgrounds and foregrounds gives the levels depth that makes them occasionally difficult to traverse. The platforming designs were a little lackluster and used the same style of straight-edge platforms with easily recognizable secret locations. Some areas, confirmed by fellow players who encountered a similar problem, didn't feel fully finished. In an optional side quest presented by an orphan asking for help, the player must go down to defeat an enemy and bring back proof the enemy was defeated. Sadly, it's impossible to make it back up once down below. Combat fell short, in my personal opinion as well. Both Ogden and the enemies had basic set of attack patterns, and they were quickly learned. Even the bosses encountered offered very little variation to their attack patterns. Their larger-than-life health bar made getting through boss battles more of a time investment than a difficult battle. Special moves that are learned offer some variety in attack, but they're very few and far in between. Special moves such as the acid spit can be upgraded with the use of eyes. Eyes are the game's currency. Cute. And are dropped after defeating an enemy or from a hidden cache throughout the game. So you just find a hidden pile of eyeballs and pick them up.
Nice. Nothing screams serial killer like just caches of eyeballs.
Hey, man, can I buy that new Linkin Park album that's coming out? Yeah, how much is it? 17 eyes.
Like, yeah, I'm kind of wondering, who the fuck buys eyeballs? Like, how, what the hell is the current, why is the currency just eyeballs? That's weird.
I don't know.
Do the monsters eat eyeballs or something? What's going on?
And who's hiding them?
Yeah.
Like, who's hiding a cache of eyeball? Anyway, upgrades are offered at extremely high price point. Luckily for me, I discovered that eye caches come back after leaving a level. After spending some time getting the eyes, leaving the room and coming back, I was able to gather enough eyes to fully upgrade. If I hadn't discovered that, I probably never would have made enough to fully upgrade. Save states and teleportation areas made traversing the landscape slightly easier. Because the game loads up at the last save point upon death, deaths occurred more than I would have liked, and the only way of healing was through save points or a special move that charges up while defeating enemies. Amulets and familiars are obtainable. The amulets are a familiar rendition of devices that increase attack damage. The familiars were a new approach and warmly welcomed, offering an extra attack to help with those hard-to-reach enemies. Overall, The Guys was an eerie graphical choice accompanied by melancholy atmospheric soundtrack and is an otherworldly addition to the Metroidvania franchise. I would say genre, not franchise.
It's not a franchise quite yet.
Yeah, it's a genre. For me, The Guys was a title I was glad to experience, but I felt it failed to deliver on overall mechanics and had a less than captivating storyline. With so much competition in gaming, some new and interesting aspects are needed to push the genre forward. But as usual, don't take my word for it. Experience it for yourself and come to your own conclusion on The Guys. Thanks for reading, Andy Sperry. There you have it. Sounds like for $6, I would wager that sounds like maybe a try it or a fuck it, why not?
Yeah.
I don't know. It sounds like it could be decent, but it definitely has some problems. Again, it's only $6, so might be worth the gamble.
Yeah, might as well. I mean, pretty cheap.
And speaking of cheap games, one last game to talk about tonight is called Basement and Basilisk's Storms of Sorcery, developed and published by Envy Softworks, released February 27th on Steam for $2.99. A visual novel paying satirical homage to the world's greatest tabletop RPG. Make important choices, roll countless dice, build lasting relationships, explore magical lands, and experience all the rest of the crap you expect from a fantasy game without the hassle of finding friends to play with. Hockey, how is it?
It's weird. It's very weird. In this, you play as a fighter, basically playing what's effectively a Wizards of the Coast game that I'm not going to name because they're stingy.
Caverns and cave trolls.
Yeah, sure, we'll go with that. It's very fourth wall breaking at random.
Fucking yeah!
Because you talk with the dungeon master, which is the person who runs the game.
You know who runs us? You. Vertically Impaired runs us because he just subbed for the 61st month.
Why would you do that?
He says 61 months of forgetting to cancel the subscription.
Okay, fair enough. That's why.
That's a bad memory.
Yes, Jesus.
Thank you for forgetting, Tony. Love having you here. Hugs to you. So, Basements and Basilisks.
Yeah, it's not a DM in this, it's a BM because it's a basement master, which is just, I hate that. I hate that so much because BM just goes with bowel movement to me.
Yeah,
just
like, buddy. Jacob would be our BM.
Yeah, very much so. And you talk. All the different characters talk with them and with each other, sometimes about real life, but it also seems like the characters are actually part of the world. So, like, there's a sorceress thingy, a wizard, and an archer on your team, and you end up playing a human fighter. You don't get a choice, sadly. You guys they're in the middle of a quest and you're brand new, so they're like, oh hey, cool. You make choices throughout it. Sometimes they piss off the BM, sometimes they upset one of your allies. Sometimes they make one of your allies like you more. You do have a rival / friendship meter for all three of your allies. You cannot max all three of them out, because one of them is a contrarian asshole, so you have to piss off that one or piss off the other two. So that's nice. I gotta say,
I love the store page for this game. I'm reading it as you're talking about it. It's like, are you into intriguing, well thought out, deep and elaborate role playing experiences? Tough luck. Welcome to B&B. It's a visual novel, but not exactly a visual novel. It's also an RPG, but not really. It certainly is something.
Yep. I can agree with all of that.
That's like the kind of advertising we would do for our show.
Yes.
It's a podcast where they talk about games. Is it good? No, but they do it anyway.
Yeah, pretty much. We should actually make one of those and put it as the description on the channel.
I'm going to hire Norg to do some more commercials for us. Norg is so unbelievable. Anyway, Basements and Basilisks.
In this, obviously you make choices occasionally. Some of them are just what you say to people, which raises and lowers how much they like you. Sometimes it's choosing what location to go, which you only do once. And sometimes you actually have to roll dice, which have never gone in my favor. The first game of this I played, I got one not fail. So that was nice. And, you know, some people would maybe be upset with that, but for me, that's just the average game of Wizards of the Coast or Pathfinder 2. I have bad luck when it comes to dice, digital and physical, so this was just nothing new to me. and, yeah, there are a couple different endings to it. The game is not particularly long. I think I beat it twice in just over 2 hours.
And it is only a $3 game, so I'm not expecting a huge novel out of this.
Every option gets different responses, and you do need to play it at least three times, because there's an achievement for getting to know each character, and you can only do that if they like you more than anyone else in the group, and you can have a chance to get to know more about them. It's all based on a role, and I have failed that too. So you can fail that, which is sucks. It's not fun when you fail that because it hurts. However, there are some issues with the game. When you finish it, you have to actually leave the game and close out through the task manager or through the task bar. Because once you get back to the main menu, it just won't let you interact with the game. The devs have been notified of this. Hopefully they fix it sometime soon. There are some other issues with the game. They use a specialized O in some of it for like words like Schrodinger's cat. Mm-hmm. It has that little weird thing above the O, and that just doesn't show up. So instead you get a word, and it just has blank spots in it. Lastly, the game sometimes just locks up in certain areas for no reason, and may not let you pass, and you might have to restart and just not do that. So there are a bunch of issues right now, but I think it's like a 3-person team or something.
Yeah, it's a small team.
Yeah, so they're gonna work on these things. It's just not quite in the best state right now, but they'll get there probably.
Well, it's a small team, a small game, and a small price tag. What's it get?
I rather enjoyed it. There's not a lot there, but I thought it was fun. It does end on a cliffhanger type situation, because this is just this is basically just one session of a game. So you don't actually really finish anything in it, which might upset some people, because they might be like, I want a beginning, a middle, and end, and this has given me part of a middle, and that's it. And, you know, fair. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. This is very much like some of the sessions of the TTRPGs that I've personally played in real life. So I thoroughly enjoyed this. This is really amusing. So I really like it. However, wide audience appeal is questionable. So I think this ends up being a fuck it, why not, or a try it. Because I don't know how much wide appeal this is going to end up having.
Yeah,
I know for people who like D&D and like Pathfinder and all the other TTRPGs, I think they'll enjoy this. Everyone else is iffy. So I fuck it, why not, or try it.
Sounds good.
Yep.
Cool.
And we finished today, didn't we?
Yeah, that is it for today. We are done. Big, big thanks to everyone for coming on this episode and hanging out. Huge thanks to Jacob for, you know, existing, I guess. Big thanks to Chris Taylor for coming on, chilling with us. Massive thanks to Mustin for not only coming on, but for sending me the MP3s to the new album, because it's really good. Comes out this coming week. Make sure to pick it up on Bandcamp to get that extra song, or pick it up wherever you like music. The iTunes is, the Amazons is, the Spotify's is, all that fun shit. But check that out. Music this episode, we're going to play some Mustin tracks. So,
woohoo!
What do you think of that?
I'm for it.
Goddamn right you're for it. Do you have any final words?
Not today.
Goddamn right you don't have any final words. Oh, wait, that's not an ending. We need an ending.
No, you don't.
Okay.